tonight you're going to be hearing a sermon I'll never preach again. I've never preached anything like it. I never will again. And again, I'm not being super spiritual. I'm just being honest. I've realized over the past day that a church can only be as strong as its leaders. And I prayed earnestly, and not just something you say, but I said, Lord, if there's anything in my life that I've done that I need to make right, if there's any restitution I need to make, please let the Holy Spirit reveal it to me. Ray Belcher is dependent on my prayers. Other people are dependent on my prayers. And in order for me to get a prayer through, I got to be right with you.
Amen.
Verse 13 says, is any sick among you? Is any among you afflicted, rather? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if you have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now, that's not had nothing to do with my sermon. I just like reading it because we believe in healing, anointing people. Amen. Just wanted to remind you, we believe in divine healing. And really, is there any other kind? So here's number 16. Confess your faults one to another. And pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And we'll stop there. Now you have to realize James is not talking to sinners here. He's talking to Christians. And there's going to come a time in our lives when sometimes we do wrong, we're going to have to confess it. The word confess there, a very short outline, and I'll get to the heart of what I want to do tonight. But you'll notice the proclamation of confession. The word confess is a different word in the Greek than other places it's used in the Bible. There's only 2 or 3 times that this word in the Greek is used in the Bible. In contrasting, Romans 10 verse 9 says, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe God had raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. That's one avenue of confession, almost a private confession between you and Christ. But this is a different type of confession. This confession is also found, the same word is found in Philippians 2:11, where it says, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That means, and this is not dealing with a private confession, but it's a public confession. So when we're talking about confessing your faults one to another, it's not a matter only of making right with someone what's wrong, making right what's wrong with the person. But sometimes we have to go beyond, a step beyond that, and confess our faults publicly. And this is what James is referring to here. And that also tells us, if that's found, if it says that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that means one day soon, and I believe very soon, that every one of us will publicly confess Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Whether you're a sinner or a saint, when you get to heaven, everybody is going to confess that the Lord Jesus Christ is who He said He was. Amen?
Amen.
Notice the pathway to confession. It says one to another. It says pray for one another. On a lighthearted note, there was 3 preachers that were getting together. You know what happens when 3 preachers get together? Nothing much good, really. You've heard this story before. They got together and they all just kind of wanted to just dump on each other and vent on each other. And one of the preachers said, "Well, I've got a hidden habit of smoking. I've been smoking for a lot, and I've hidden it from our church." And the other one said, "Well, if we're confessing faults, I'll go ahead and I've got a secret habit. I like to play the lottery." And the third preacher, he said, "Well, I got to confess too. I'm a gossip, and I can't wait to get out of here." That's probably the truth on a lot of occasions. The proclamation of confession, the pathway of confession, said there's a way to do things, and our pastor's already dealt with that. So I'm not. You can get the tape if you want that about taking the lid off. There's a way to make restitution, and after we confess those things one to another, then we pray for one another. That's the next step, and then the promise that comes with confession. It says that we will be healed. That we will be healed. That word healed simply means to be made whole. That means if there's anything wrong, it'll be made right. And true healing will come when confession is made. Now, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That means an active prayer, a working prayer, a laborious prayer. That means you can't just stop after praying one time. That means if it ain't answered, sometimes we got to keep praying and keep praying and keep praying and keep praying. Our old friend Dr. Clyde Perry always used to say, and then Billy Huddleston came in here and just repeated it one day. People used to say, I need to pray clear through. And a lot of you may not know what that means, but basically what that means is you pray and 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 you pray till you're clear through. That's how you pray clear through. But the proof of confession. The proof is found in verse 17. It says, when you confess your thing, it says you'll see the evidence of your confession. There was evidence of Elijah's prayer after he prayed. There was no rain. That's talking about the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Talking about Elias. And that's likening to us when we confess our faults one to another. When we come clean and make things right, there'll be evidence of that. Not only will we see it in our own lives, but I think it will have an effect on other people as well. And so, here's what I want to get to tonight. I was praying just yesterday. And I really meant it. I really meant it. And if you mean business with God, He'll answer your prayer. And so I prayed. And I said, Lord, I don't know of anything. But if there's anything I've done wrong to somebody, or anything I've done wrong that needs to be forgiven or reconciled, let me know. So as I was praying, the Holy Spirit came upon me and revealed to me something that I did that I totally forgot about. 11 years, I wasn't even with Evangelistic Outreach at the time. And I'm going to confess it to you. Now, before you go on, I didn't cheat on my wife. But I'm telling you, it was wrong. And I need to tell you what I did. I was working at the radio station still, and I was coming across the Portsmouth Bridge, and it was just, and a man was behind me, and he wasn't watching, and amazingly, I know this is going to surprise you, but I got in a wreck. But a guy rear-ended me, and I pulled off the side of the road, and we kind of checked out, and I could tell he just wasn't all there, and I don't mean like mental, I mean like high, I mean drunk, and you can smell it on him. And so he saw my car, and it was messed up. His car wasn't messed up hardly at all, so you know what he did? He got in his car, and he just left. And so the policeman came, filled out a report, and guess what? If there's no one else there, you still got to pay for it. So I did. I had to pay for it. So in the meantime, I had to get my car fixed, right? So the next thing to do, I asked my mom and dad, can I borrow you have an extra vehicle, or can I borrow your car, Dad? So he allowed me to borrow his vehicle. I had a preaching appointment in Ironton, Ohio. And so I went out to the church, and I got something to eat after church, and I needed fuel in my car, so I wanted to fill up the gas tank for my dad. So I pulled in the Speedway there at Ironton, Ohio. And it was dad just got a new vehicle. I hadn't driven it much, and so I pulled up to the gas tank and thought I had the car in park, but I didn't. It was still in reverse. And I got out, and the car started rolling, and I backed into a lady behind me. And this is just a couple days after all this happened with that other guy. And so there was no damage to my dad's car, but there was damage to her bumper. She drove a blue Cavalier. I don't know this lady. I never met her before. And so she said, well, I got to go inside. We'll call the cops. We'll come and write a report up. So I was outside. I was looking at my dad's car. I'm thinking, shoot, this is my dad's car. He's going to be mad. And instantly, the thought came to my mind, well, that guy hit me and ran off. Why can't I?
That's right. That's right. Help him, Lord.
So I got in my car and I drove off. And you say, well, Brian, I've done that before. Well, that's your problem. This is my problem. Now, that's been over 11 years ago, I'm sure. I totally forgot about it. But I'm telling you, if you want to get serious with God, And he said, well, Brian, that's nothing to get worried about. I've been sick all day long. You can ask my wife. I've been hateful. I have. Because I needed to get here tonight and tell you all. And I know I can't really tell you. I'm sorry. Because I didn't do nothing to you. But I owe it to you as your assistant pastor to tell you that sometimes I do wrong. And whenever God reveals it to me and he says, tell it, I've got to tell it. Now, I don't know if the Lord will allow me. I pray he does. I pray I get to meet that woman again. I pray that I get to ask her, did you drive at once a blue Cavalier? Did it get hit? I pray. I don't know when or don't know where, but I guarantee if I meet that woman, I'm going to make my wrongs right. But I'm just telling you tonight, there's going to be an altar call, and I'm going to be the first one there. Because how can I expect to tell you to confess your faults? How can I expect to preach up here and to preach with my whole heart that you need to confess everything. You need to get things right. How can I follow my pastor? And how can I rightfully leave this church if there's things in my heart that I need to get fixed?
Bless you,
this is the shortest sermon I probably ever preached. But this is all I got on my heart. And I'm not wanting sympathy. I'm not wanting hug. I mean, that's okay. You hug me if you want. But I'm just telling you, I've done wrong. I've done wrong. And I've asked the Lord to forgive me. I called my mom and dad and I told them today. That was hard. My mom said, well, if you need forgiveness from me, you got it. I told my wife. I said, honey, I got to tell the church. I haven't done anything wrong to you all. But still, I've done wrong to God. And I confess it to you tonight. And if he ever reveals anything else to me, I promise I'll make my wrongs right.
Amen.
But I'm telling you what, folks, time's running out. And I don't want a stupid thing like a fender bender keep me out of heaven. If God would have never revealed it to me, I wouldn't have had to worry about it. But he did. He did. And so, I'm telling you tonight, I'm giving the invitation. Howard, get a song ready. And I'm coming just to ask the Lord to forgive me and help me. Always to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Tonight, I'm going to ask you just to be obedient. If you need to come and pray, you do as God leads you.